Over the past decade, there's been a bunch of family influencers. The perfect parents and a huge mansion with their children always on display. Everything on the outside is perfect. All the money, happy memories. Every day's more fun than you could dream of. Until the camera stops and the dark reality of these family channels starts to get very ugly. And over the years, the children in these videos begin to face long-term consequences from their parents' actions. If you thought iPad Kids was bad, predatory influencer parents are 100 times worse. The world of child influencers is truly horrific. And to understand what I mean, all you need to do is look at the 8 Passenger family. 8 Passengers was a family-orientated channel on YouTube that featured a family of 8. The mum, who was the more dominant of the parents, would openly talk about how she raised the kids. Ruby Frankie and her husband Kevin Frankie had 6 children, and were incredibly strict on their kids, which ultimately led to disaster. It all began when Ruby started a YouTube channel, documenting their family lifestyle in Utah as a Mormon family, and on the surface it seemed like a perfect, loving, healthy Mormon lifestyle. Kevin Frank seemed to go along with all the rules that Ruby said they agreed on. The kids were interviewed and all the activities in the family were put on social media as a part of their documentary. However, she would say some very contradicting things, like how it's not healthy for her child to be on Instagram because it's affecting his identity.
Deleting his Instagram account. Chad was getting a lot of his identity from Instagram.
What are you doing on YouTube? Except you're literally profiting off of your children instead of yourself.
Which is exactly what Ruby was doing on YouTube. Her documentary included showing her telling the kids what they will be doing that day.
Here's what we're gonna do. You're gonna go outside on the cool grass and you're gonna get a bagel and you're gonna get a banana.
Even though one of the boys got severely sunburned doing garden work, it just didn't seem to ever faze Ruby. And that's when her audience started to realize that she was a rather strict mother.
For example, she expects her 3-year-old. Three. To be able to wake herself up for preschool.
Which became very apparent in one video, where her son revealed that he had been sleeping on a beanbag for the last 7 months as a punishment, and was only recently let back in his own bedroom.
My bedroom was taken away for 7 months, and then you give it back like a couple weeks ago.
I don't think our viewers know that.
You've been sleeping on a beanbag.
I've been sleeping on a beanbag.
In another upload, one of the kids left their lunch behind, and she actually puts up a post that she's not going to take their lunch through, and is hoping that no one gives them food that day.
She's just going to need to be hungry. And hopefully nobody gives her food and nobody steps in and gives her a lunch.
Naturally, viewers began expressing concern about their discipline tactics.
Once again, like, it's a huge thing for Ruby to basically hold food hostage over these poor kids' heads.
The more that was revealed also included withholding food to discipline their children, threatening to behead a fluffy toy to a very distraught child.
I'm going to take the scissors, look at me, and I'm going to cut its head off.
Grandma will be so mad!
And sending one of their kids to a wilderness discipline school.
Chad today has just entered the Anasazi Foundation Wilderness Therapy Program. He's going to spend the next 8 to 10 weeks living in the
Anasazi Desert.
The final straw came when they decided to give their kids the gift of truth, which covers repentance, forgiveness, and boundaries to cover a few.
So, Kevin and I have decided that we are going to give the gift of truth to them this year for Christmas. We are going to give them the gift of boundaries, and we're going to give them the gift of repentance.
This was their gift for all the work they've been doing for their parents on social media. I mean, how generous are these two parents who are literally making money off the public viewing of their childhood lives, whether consented to or not, and rewarding these kids with pretty much nothing but punishments. The audience starts to get outraged by this.
Well, she takes stuff away for 6 months at a time.
6 months.
That's a bit insane.
She looks insane as well.
And they sprung into action. While some started a change.org petition, others actually let CPS know of Ruby's abuse. It didn't take long for Kevin and Ruby to be alerted of the petition and posted a defense post saying that the viewers were, quote, taking things way out of context.
Something Kevin and I have done with our children that is actually working really well.
The viewers were not only the ones reporting the abuse, but also the neighbors had reached out to CPS. Although sadly, CPS did visit the home and said they found nothing wrong. Back in 2022, the 8 Passenger YouTube channel was deleted, and Ruby and Kevin eventually separated. It was during this time that Ruby started working at a company called Connection as a counselor. She worked mostly with a woman named Jody Hildebrandt, who herself had very questionable ethics. In fact, she was actually known to be manipulative and abusive, whose guidance was very toxic especially towards children.
This woman knows no reason. She doesn't have a heart.
And as they began to know each other better, they would start an Instagram account called Mums of Truth and offered parenting classes. This in itself, with Ruby's track record, was a recipe for disaster. And it would all come out in 2023, when Ruby's youngest son ran away from their home through a window and went to a neighbor's house asking for food and water and to please call 911. The 911 call was very upsetting. The gentleman on the call told the dispatcher that the 12-year-old child had duct tape on his ankles and had open wounds.
He has duct tape around each ankle. Yeah, there's sores around. This boy has been...
He trailed off when he started getting tearful in the report, unable to fathom what this poor child had actually been through. The boy also let him know that he left his sister behind, who was in the exact same position as he was. So the police banged on the door and found the girl alone. Both of the children had deep cuts from being tied up, and both suffered from malnourishment. They were taken to the hospital for treatment, but the next concern was to get the other three children. Police were finally able to find them with an employee of Connection, as it turned out that the children were under the care of Jody Hildebrand, who was coincidentally nowhere to be seen. However, after time, both Judy and Ruby were finally arrested on 4 counts of child abuse. But it doesn't end there. The oldest daughter, Sherry, who had since moved out of the house and was at university at the time, was spoken up in defense of her siblings and tried to get custody of them. In a post that Sherry put up, she expressed relief that her mother was finally exposed.
Finally. That was the word Shari attached to the photo of her mother's arrest that she posted to her Instagram story.
Sherry also got into the house and took her siblings' passports, tablets, and journals. Kevin, who should have stepped up and done something to protect the kids, tried to have his daughter arrested for burglary. When Sherry returned the passports, tablets, and journals, he further questioned why Sherry wasn't charged for burglary.
Is it all there?
Yes. Yeah, explain to me again why this was not robbery.
Because it's a civil issue. You guys are family, she's been in the house before.
Which is a really shameful thing for him to do as her father. Many have questioned why he wanted the items back so badly, and if there was any incriminating evidence on the tablets or in the journals. Kevin had since filed for divorce, and the remaining kids were put in foster homes by choice as they did not want to go to Sherry, as presumably they felt loyal to their mum and were too young to truly understand that they were in a very abusive situation. Ruby's family has also spoken out, as they too had family documentaries. Ruby's one sister said that Ruby had lied about their childhood.
Ruby had been making up memories from her childhood. She was trying to grab at anything she could, and she would exaggerate on everything. So she started all of her lies back then, lying to everyone.
And that although she thought her sister's discipline ways really weren't great, it was left unspoken about in the family. Once her children said that they were uncomfortable going to Ruby's home, she immediately stopped the visits, even though this upset Ruby.
We all saw it. We all felt weird about this Jody lady. We weren't comfortable with it. We didn't like it. We didn't like the teachings Ruby was bringing to the family functions, and we were this close to telling her, if you come to our family events anymore, we do not want to hear what you were learning through Connections because we don't like it.
Once her sister was exposed, she and her family worked through it together, and understandably, they were upset about their cousins. Ruby has not shown any kind of remorse and seems adamant that, quote, Satan has taken everything from her, and compares herself to the Mormon prophet Joseph Smith.
Satan has taken everything away from me that I love. And I'm a good woman. I don't do naughty things.
It seems she is still under the impression that she was a good mother and did everything for her kids, regardless that the evidence is contrary and pretty damning. There simply isn't any excuse good enough for inflicting malnutrition and open wounds as a punishment on children. In February 2024, Ruby was then consequently sentenced to between 1 and 15 years imprisonment to serve 4 consecutive sentences, which means that she will serve nothing shy of around 4 years in jail, but this could extend up to 30 years. The Utah Board of Pardons and Parole will ultimately be the deciding factor. But at least some justice was served in this case for not only exploiting her kids, but abusing them as well. But before we continue, I want to tell you that this video is proudly sponsored by Tube Magic. If you've ever considered starting your own YouTube channel or growing your existing one, Tube Magic is here to make the process easier and faster with the advanced capabilities of AI. Tube Magic is equipped with a robust keyword research function that sorts keywords by search volume, competition, and a unique magic score. This score helps you identify the best keywords for your video ideas, ensuring your content is always optimized for maximum visibility and engagement. One of the standout features of Tube Magic is the Video Ideas tool. Simply input any channel link in Tube Magic will generate a wealth of unique, relevant video ideas tailored to that exact channel. And it doesn't stop there. It also provides comprehensive scripts and script outlines. So you're starting your content creation process 80% of the way there, rather than just from scratch. And these scripts are genuinely high quality, making your content creation process smoother and more efficient. Another really powerful feature is the optimization tool. By uploading an unlisted video link, TubeMagic will automatically generate a captivating title, an informative description, and a set of optimized tags for your video. This ensures that your content is primed for the best possible performance on YouTube. And you see, TubeMagic was developed by Matt Parr. He also runs the Make Money Matt channel on YouTube, and he's been creating content since he was just 14. Today, he manages over 12 different channels. Initially, he created the software for internal use to streamline his workflow and boost his channel's performance. And now, he's revealing it with the public. So for a limited time, you can get started with TubeMagic for completely free. Just click the link below to sign up for a free trial and take advantage of their special launch deal. Begin your journey to YouTube success today by just clicking the link in the description below. But where did the acceptance of exploiting your children's life for content ever actually come from? And why is it becoming more and more common online? Well, if you go back a few decades, you start to see it stems unsurprisingly from Hollywood. It was presumed by most that child actors had made it. When you were younger and you saw these young kids starring in these giant movies, you always wished that could be you. These kids get to live out every other child's dream. But the truth is that most of these child actors have to live in the reality that their parents get paid because they themselves are minors. Their producers start exploiting them. They end up working in a soulless, psychopathic environment that steals their youth from them. And in the end leaves a lot of room for abuse and mental illness. Almost everyone knows Drew Barrymore from Never Being Kissed, or as the little girl in E.T.
Not even Mom.
Yet despite her fame, she faced a tumultuous life behind the scenes. Drew was pushed into acting by her mother from a very young age, with her career taking off at the age of 6 when Steven Spielberg cast her in E.T. after seeing her audition for Poltergeist. On set, Drew bonded deeply with the E.T. prop, which Spielberg made interactive to support her performance. But despite her success, Drew struggled with socializing with other children, feeling more comfortable in adult settings.
At first, I really didn't know the difference. I'm like 6 years old, hanging out with a bunch of 25-year-olds. Mm-hmm. I liked being around older people. I felt like I could relate to them better.
Why?
Just because they were more experienced. You know, I didn't want to go off and play Barbies. I wanted to go out to a club and dance.
And this was largely due to her mother. The Hollywood industry and her mother's relentless focus on financial gain exposed young Drew to inappropriate environments like Studio 54, where Drew would begin having her first taste of alcohol and leaving with strange young men.
I was 8. I had had 2 glasses of champagne. And boom, I was like tipsy and... Mm-hmm. You know, bubbly in the life of the party.
It was so bad that by the age of just 9, Drew had developed a drinking problem. In a film about a girl with troubled actor parents, Drew's real life mirrored her character's nightmare. With her mother exploiting her fame, Hollywood executives exploiting a young little girl, and the media shaming her alcohol habits, it was a complete childhood destroying environment for her. It got so bad that by the age of just 11, Drew was addicted to cocaine and struggled to find any work. She just seemed like an abandoned, broken child. And young Drew didn't really seem to care at this point, but her mother was desperate for more money and clout, and forced her daughter to accept a role she didn't really want to be in, called See You in the Morning. This was an eye-opening moment for the young actress and a turning point in her life. As she got older and addictions got worse, Drew began to rebel against her mother more and more, forcing her mother to admit her into rehab, where Drew would then spend the next 1.5 years, and she rightfully hated her mother for all of the situation. What a horrible way to be brought into the world. It got so bad that in one interview she said she couldn't wait for her mother to die, a statement she later regretted, but it certainly showcased her resentment.
How do you get over guilt and shame if they're still alive in order to tell those truths?
Sadly, Drew is not the only childhood actor who has been exploited by the parents who are supposed to protect them. Drew's exploitation was just one of the more well-known cases. Other actors like Macaulay Culkin, Brooke Shields, and more recently Taylor Momsen and Misha Barton have all been exploited by their parents, spending their hard-earned money and using their childhood and innocence for more power in the industry. This even extends to the music industry, with well-known singers like Michael Jackson and Leanne Rimes, who infamously had parents exploiting them for wealth and fame, and in the end, had to either sue them or cut them off entirely. with devastating repercussions of drug use, mental health problems, and a whole array of other consequences by having their childhood ripped away from them. In this day and age, this has evolved into different kinds of exploiting children. There is a variety of platforms that host this kind of exploiting content, whether intentional or not. It's obviously a parent's responsibility to keep their children safe, but unfortunately these parents have no problem exploiting their flesh and blood to get the views in the most disgraceful way one can imagine. There are young kids who are either exposed on social media wearing the most seductive and provocative clothes, or even posed in very suggestive ways. Clearly these parents show no concern about the reality that there are sex predators out there, or the emotional damage in an of itself that they are doing to their children, which will gradually reveal itself in the long run. While this problem still exists in Hollywood, it's ultimately metastasized into the social media space, where there are more means to monitor this more closely and get accounts of this nature shut down. A kid's childhood is not meant to be a source of income, fame, or clout, yet here we are with a rise of influencer parents. Take Bepop and Bebe for example. Bebe is the mother on TikTok who has a daughter by the name of Bepop. Their content is said to be alarming and possibly very misleading on TikTok, since their videos are set in a very plain setting of a girl's bedroom, and their content involves dancing and some very strange behaviour. Bepop performs beyond the boundaries a nurturing mother would set and makes some of her fans very uncomfortable. While Bebe is also in most of the videos, their makeup is done very dramatically, and at some point some viewers are wondering if the duo were forced to perform. This would explain some of their strange content if it was done under duress, and so their fans began dropping comments like, "Wear green if you need help." But with many comments of the same suggestions in different colours, this became pointless as almost every colour was covered. Then someone said, "Touch your nose if you need help," and Bebe then touched her nose, leading fans to now conclude they needed help. Of course, as news spread, the number of views increased, and fans scrambled to find clues that would help. With the help of concerned viewers, a number of observations were made. There was one follower who said that a camera was next to a teddy in the room, but playing the devil's advocate, it could have been for their video uploads. Another viewer said there was a lock on the bedroom door, but the lock was on the inside of the door, not the outside, which posed no threat as she wasn't locked in the room. In some of the footage, there was a man who was shown in a few scenes, and while some tried to find proof that he was the kidnapper, there was no real proof, and in reality, someone who kidnaps would not allow any footage of themselves to be posted. As more and more clues came up, each had a reason backing them, resulting in more views gained, more money made for them, and a social media following of over 3 million followers. It seemed that Bebe avoided the questions and seemed to play more into the kidnapping theory, but the little one Bebop did not.
The one B1 said, are you kidnapped?
Thank you, Amelia. Thank you, Paula. Thank you, Hannah.
They said you avoiding.
Thank you, Megan.
They said you avoiding the question. They said call 911.
I always talk. I mean, I don't understand what people are talking about. I talk all the time. I always answer questions. Everybody always asks me.
They are kidnapped.
They always want to know what my favorite color is.
It's a lot of people.
And my favorite color is red. Dude, what's your favorite color?
One viewer posted a very plausible theory that Bepop and Bebe were possibly Catherine and Ava Baldwin, who went missing in September 2015. Catherine kidnapped Ava and ran off during a custody battle, and the two have not been found to this day. Granted, Bebe and Bepop do look remarkably similar, so the news spread feeding more into this kidnapping theory. However, eventually this theory was debunked, and just as fans were still so dedicated to helping the two, another post came out where you had to pay to hear the truth of their situation. This got a bunch of negative backlash, and rightfully so, abusing this entire story for more money. The post was then later removed, but by this time fans had dug a lot deeper to find out that Bepop and Bebe's past held a more revealing and crazy truth. Bebe had Bepop and beauty pageants from a young age, and it's commonly known that parents like this tend to lean towards the more toxic side. It's clear in their videos that Bebe likes attention just as much as Bepop, and was brought up to enjoy it. Unfortunately, she doesn't really know any better. As a mother, Bebe accepts putting her little girl in a police uniform with a choke chain or a leech in another clip, subjecting her to more sexual performance, drawing in a not-so-savory following. Bepop does have a brother who has appeared in some clips. One fan asked if he was forced to be in the clips, and he came out and said yes. However, later, Bebe is ironically seen forcing him to say he wasn't forced. The whole video is clearly directed and neutralizing this entire situation. But the real question remains, who are Bebe and Bepop? Well, this information is not very clear, as they are managed by 6 Degrees of Influence Talent. Since it's a very well-known agency, it does not release its records to the public regarding any of their influences. An influencer by the name of Even Steph has made a clip and has come up with 2 theories, both of which are entirely possible. He started with the theory that Bebe is Diane Patricia Evans, who is actually an ex-convict. Ivan got the name from a Reddit post and then tracked it through the grandmother, who appeared in a post or two from Bebe and Bepop. Diane's mother is Lisa Evans, who looks exactly like the grandmother from their posts. But this might not be the case, but the path of investigation Ivan presents is very convincing. The other theory is that Bebe is Colette Dupree, who was a Corn on the Cob star. Again, the resemblance is uncanny and certainly a possibility. This would also give a reason as to why Bebe is so comfortable with the more sinister sexual performances that she puts Bebop through. A video of Colette is found on the show called The Jenny Jones Show, and the accent, voice, and demeanor are almost identical to Bebe's. Ivan goes on to use two facial recognition websites, and both indicate that it could be Diane and Colette. I mean, the inappropriate content of Bebop is really kind of disturbing. Things like leaving handcuffs on the bed, performing a chair dance, which is very similar to a stripper, with makeup being done as if she was very grown up. And although Bebop might be 9 or 10, or even a teenager by now, she has already been sexualized through the content that they have created, which clearly had no boundaries. Instead of ponies, fashion, fun, Barbie dolls, Bebop is presented in a dark and twisted manner that no little girl should ever be exposed to. And it's a worrying trend that's happening across all of social media, where an entire industry has sprung up, exploiting and stealing the innocence of childhood for profit. When it comes to influencer parents and their content kids, it's becoming such an existential problem that social media platforms need to address it. This is because we are witnessing a disturbing cycle. More and more families are turning into real-life Truman shows where everything inside of the home is constantly filmed 24/7 for content. And as successful influencer families gain visibility and followers, they set a trend that others follow, perpetuating the cycle. And this normalization of sharing every aspect of life online has blurred the lines between personal and public life, making it easier for parents to justify including their children in content creation. The constant demand for new and engaging content also pressures parents to feature their own children. And as they get so swept up, they never actually consider the long-term effects this will have for their children's future. And for Generation Alpha, who are so sucked into their iPads, constantly being in the online world since they were born, they don't know any different outside of this influencer bubble. And so they go along with it. If mummy and daddy tell them to, they will. And this makes it seem so normal for their entire life to be around content and being filmed 24/7 that they don't know it's possible to live a childhood without all of their innocent memories being viewed by millions and millions of strangers. And you can see this with the Labyrinth family. The Labyrinth family are the most watched family on the internet, with over 13 million followers on YouTube. They have accounts for each child and their family posts every day. However, they have taken some things a little too far regarding their children on the internet. Some posts have since been removed, but people have pointed out that them exploiting their kids has strangely enough worked in their favor. To understand this, we have to see how it started. It all began with Cole and his brothers making dance content, which gained them a bunch of traction in the early days. However, the brothers all separated when they went to universities. Cole actually used his fame to attempt to ask Selena Gomez to his prom.
Actually, there's only one reason why you should go to prom with me.
Which didn't even get Selena's response. But then Cole would do this amazing race with his mother, which seemed to gain him more followers. Savannah was also on social media at the start, doing the same sort of content with dancing, leading to the two eventually meeting in a shopping mall.
It's a crowded Saturday at a mall.
Now, Savannah already had a daughter from a previous relationship, which she described as being very toxic. Cole and Savannah are both Christian and they're very open about their religion. So when Cole and Savannah started dating, they became even more famous because it was encouraging to see two youths behaving in the correct Christian manner. When Cole proposed to Savannah, he also proposed to her daughter, Everly. But what was so weird is this was all for clout, all to be posted online. However, it did become one of the most watched posts at the time, and to many it seemed very sweet and very sincere. And it all went uphill from here. Their posts gained more and more followers, more and more money came rolling in. But it was noted that any post with Everly would get more views than if it was just the two parents. The most watched post is of Everly and Cole lip-syncing music in the car. So the post to Perfect Family would soon expand after the two were married, and this is when the family would even soon start an account for each person in the family. Cole said in one post that he didn't even like being famous, but this kind of contradicts their actions. Even their newborn had an account. The couple were constantly going on holidays, and with their fame have since bought a house and even an Airbnb with this fame that they don't even like. When the Californian fires broke out back in 2018, the family posted a clip claiming that they were forced to leave their homes because of the fires.
But she texted me saying that there's a huge fire right by our house and that we might need to evacuate, so I'm actually gonna drive.
The title was We Left Our Home Because of the Californian Fires, and the thumbnail was of course extremely misleading, with a fire in the backyard and the family looking fearful. And it was nowhere near their home to justify this post at all. In fact, the area where they lived wasn't on evacuation alert at all, and their neighbors expressed that they acted disgracefully as there were many members who had died in the fires.
And I just think it's really sad that they would exploit a situation that's as serious as a fire that so many people were evacuated.
And to top it all off, their post even included getting ice cream with Evelé. In response to this growing negativity, they said they left as Evelé was scared, and they wanted her to feel safe. But while Evelé has since grown up, the family's expanded with a further 4 children, which means another 4 characters to put on social media and use their childhood to make a bunch of money from. From theme park visits to birthing videos, almost everything they do, every single thing in their childhood lives, is posted to the public for millions to watch. Everything is online, everything is filmed, every moment and every interaction within the family is always being recorded for money. And one of the most disturbing things about this whole thing is that the audience demographic shows that 70% of their viewers are from men. Who knows what kind of people are watching these videos? But most parents would want to protect their children from these kinds of people, pushing away the sort of creepy attention. And yet for the LeBron family, it seems like this is their money-making machine. Each child they have is another social media personality they can make money from. Their family is a money-making, clout-chasing empire. But soon, even this audience would start to find that this channel was going off of the rails. In 2021, the family would put out a post had she got diagnosed with cancer, leading their followers to believe one of their children might actually have cancer. Within minutes of the post, they reveal that their caption is actually just about another family's child, and that their children, especially Posey, who was implied by the thumbnail used, were in fact all fine and dandy. This received even more backlash and was seen as incredibly distasteful clickbait.
You just don't do it. There's some unwritten shit. You want to clickbait, hey, Everly, you know, went to the moon in space, and you clickbait, you got her a cardboard space, you know, cardboard rocket, and she didn't go to the moon. Different than clickbaiting cancer.
Such a weird thing to do about another person's very sick child. And it felt like they were using child cancer as a way to get views. And then on April 1st, a post was put out that they had decided to get rid of the family dog. In the post, their daughter is clearly upset and crying as they explain that the dog is too much trouble for them to keep. But of course, this just turned out to be an April Fool's joke, a joke that was clearly taken way too far. In the video, their daughter is extremely tearful and doesn't want to engage in the content as her parents push her for more reactions, more emotions, so that they can gain more retention on the video. And once again, their daughter was exploited and made tearful and embarrassed publicly online for views. A public apology was then later posted, with mum and dad saying they didn't think she was serious.
It was just a bad judgment call in the moment, and I'm 22, she's 20, just turned 26, we're young parents.
But it was a poorly delivered apology at best. And then when Savannah got pregnant again with another child for social media, they expressed that they were considering taking 9-year-old Evelé out of school to help her home, as they needed more hands helping with the newborn on the way.
Second of all, she's helpful with the kid, so I feel like having her here would be nice, just with another baby coming too. Like, she just, it's nice having an extra pair of hands around the house, even if it's a 9-year-old.
Again, this got even more backlash, as people were outraged that they were sacrificing their daughter's education to help out the house and make more videos. A post simply called Abortion was then also posted, where they discussed their views on abortion and pushed their beliefs as well. And it just seems that this family has no intention of slowing down, and their family's ongoing lives are still being uploaded. And it seems like they're losing their followers and core audience, but it seems like the payoff is still worth it at the cost of exploiting their children's lives. Today, we are witnessing live in front of us all the death of childhood innocence. And as more and more creators see the success of the family channel industrial complex making millions from exploiting their children, it's clear this will become a growing problem for the foreseeable future. If you enjoyed this video and you want to learn how to make videos like I do on this channel, where I'll show you behind the scenes stuff and how we post so many videos and how we create the videos in the first place and how I grew the channel to have over 1 million subscribers, you can join me in Moon Society.
For just $5 a month, you can talk to me and a bunch of other content creators to grow your audience and make better, more meaningful videos together. While I'll be doing specific YouTube Q&As, calls, and regular posts to give you as much help as possible.
So if you're a filmmaker, creator, someone who wants to make meaningful content and put it online, you can join me and hundreds of others at Moon Society on School. Use the link in the description below.